the Summit County Council's budget discussions, Councilmember Doug Clyde briefed his colleagues on the quality of the Weber River water. He joins me now in the studio with some specifics about that. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
If you would, just kind of start at square one for us and tell us why you think that this is an urgent priority here.
Well, it's urgent because it is a very long-range and perpetual problem that we ultimately have to deal with, and there are two aspects to it. The first is the obvious ecological aspect. Nobody wants dirty water. Nobody wants eutrophication. Nobody wants blue-green algae growing in their lakes and their rivers and their ponds. Those are things that we are on the verge or actually entered into with the Weber. The Weber has blue-green algae in it. The Weber is eutrophied. The Weber does have some significant water quality issues. The second aspect of it is that it's financial. We as the county are primarily responsible for delivering clean water downstream. And as you may know, there's a couple of million people downstream, and they tend to get irritated when you don't deliver them clean water. And the law is on their side. It's our responsibility to deliver clean water. The complexity of this whole thing is that these are very intractable problems when you get involved in them. They're very, very hard to rectify, especially when land use and planning goes awry. We've made some major steps in that regard, especially with the rezone of the east side of Summit County, where we have done some significant rezoning that will help protect and preserve water quality. But we're already on a downhill slope. We're already sliding into problems, and that's the nature of the issue.
Yep. So is the Weber River water out of compliance on
yes.
a state level?
Yeah, out of compliance on a state and a federal level. The way water quality is regulated in the United States, it's done through the Clean Water Act, which is a circa 1970 piece of legislation that requires that essentially certain water quality standards be maintained. That authority is then given to the state. It then becomes a state's responsibility to make sure that they manage their water in compliance with the Clean Water Act. And to give you a broad idea as to how intractable and difficult these projects are, or these problems are, I went to work in the environmental business back in the early 70s when the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency was just getting underway. And then, of course, at that time, the Truckee River was out of compliance with water quality. There have been hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to improve the water quality in the Truckee River. I'm working on a project right now that flows into the Truckee River, and 40 years later, the Truckee River is still out of water quality compliance. So they're very long-term projects. They're very, very, very costly. And if we don't get on them from a land use point of view, they will become intractable, completely intractable.
Yeah. So if the river's been out of compliance, why haven't the regulators from the state or the feds kind of lowered the boom on us?
Well, it's all a matter of degree, right? In other words, there is a plan. There is we have a variety of studies about the river that indicate where the effluent comes from, where the pollutants come from, and then we have the state mandated water quality control systems that are required. These are often referred to as the MS4 regulations. These things theoretically are improving or taking care of the problem. The reality of it is that it is just it is much bigger than that. Our water quality problems in the Weber flow primarily from what we refer to as background levels, meaning that they come from all the soils that are in the basin. So when you go out and build a road and you put in a gutter and you put in a ditch, that ditch flows right into the Weber and it helps those nutrients flow right into the Weber.
So usually, I mean, what we saw here in the Snyderville Basin was an issue of golf courses,
right?
Of livestock not being able to enter streams mm-hmm. and such, mm-hmm. and, as well as just people putting a lot of fertilizer on their lawns and
right.
gardens.
Right.
So, what do we need? I mean, we don't have any golf courses, or do we? That's flowing into this.
No, and that to some degree is specific to East Canyon Creek and what's happened with the watershed over here. Our problem actually on the east side, is not primarily agriculture. It's not primarily fertilizer. It's not primarily even septic systems and water treatment plants. It is again the background, and the background comes from any earth moving activity or any soil disturbing activity that occurs, and it also comes from impervious surface. So every time you pave something, what you do, or every time you build a house, or every time you build a building, what you do is you accelerate the flow of the water that normally would get infiltrated into the ground. You accelerate it into the river. And when you do so, it picks up nutrients on the way. And that's why we are in this downhill slide.
So did the county set aside some money then in next year's budget to address this?
It's a planning issue more than it is anything else, and we are working. It's a multidisciplinary planning issue. It involves both health department and the land planning organization as well, and so we are working together right now between the various departments to figure out how to first of all, tighten up our water quality regulations so that we improve the overall way that things get built and the way that they get managed. But then also to incorporate some new rules, which will be, let's say, more modern, if you will, more representative of state of the art of how you deal with this problem.
So do we have a staff planner then dedicated to this project?
Not as of yet. I'm at this point sort of the point person on the project and collecting these people together, but good cooperation and great interest from engineering, planning, and health department.
So we would have somebody then from the health department, like
Absolutely.
Phil Bondurant or somebody
yeah.
like that. Yeah.
yeah.
In terms of, what Park City's done is basically just started charging everybody a stormwater fee. I mean, is that where we're headed?
It's probably not something that you're going to be able to deal with just with money. It requires planning and water quality, strict water quality measures. So, no, I don't think we're at the point where we're charging people a fee. We wouldn't have anything for them to spend that on, as it were, right now. But to put this thing in perspective, if you look at the East Canyon watershed and you look at the relatively recent rebuild that they went through on the sewer district there. The sewer system got completely rebuilt. The purpose of that rebuild, which cost about $60 million, as I recall, if you quiz Mike Litters about this, he will tell you that about $40 million of that 60 went into squeezing the last little tiny bit of phosphorus they possibly could out of the water system. And they are being forced into, and we will be forced into, a management strategy that is referred to as simply best available technology. That means that we have to do things that no matter what they cost, they represent the best available technology. So it's not just a matter of, gee, it's going to cost me $20 million to upgrade that sewer system. The law says we don't care. The law says best available technology. That's going to be your answer anytime you get into a non-compliance situation. That area went first because it goes into a large reservoir that feeds a lot of people with a lot of water, and there was a lot of concern. The Weber is no different. It's just a little bit slower in getting there.
So what kind of new land regulations should we expect to see?
We first of all would see a lot of best management practices or low impact development standards, meaning that what you do as a landowner is when you create impervious surface, you create infiltration that is capable of holding the excess runoff that comes from that impervious surface. And that, in some respects, it's very low technology. It's ditches lined with gravel and filter fabric.
And we're not doing that now?
No, not at all. Hmm. No. If you were to look at a standard structure in an area where these standards are being imposed rigorously, you would find that every roof drain, every drain from your driveway, goes into one of these infiltration trenches. In some cases, these are actually bioswales, which are engineered trenches that actually remove some of the nutrients before they allow the water to flow into the ground. But primarily, what you need to do is you need to get the water back in the ground, because the phosphorus will not precipitate out. The phosphorus will only get bound up in the soil. It will not precipitate out at the bottom of the stream in a manner that that removes it from the system.
Okay, so stay tuned. It sounds like we will see changes ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be a long and difficult process, but we're in the middle of it.
Because people are going to fight it? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's getting the regulations in place and then getting people to understand the regulations, because most people aren't aware of the fact that they are impacting the water quality just by simply building a house.
Well, and will the cost of development just go up as a result?
It will go up, but it's a minor issue. Just changing the way that you deal with stormwater in and of itself is not that expensive. So it's not going to be a tremendous burden. It will be a tremendous burden if we let 20 or 30 years slip by and not do anything about it.
Okay, I'll leave it there. Doug, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
That's Summit County Council Member Doug Clyde. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW.